Why doesn't God come through for me, you might be saying? You know, is God really able to provide for me in this stage of life that I am facing? My health is not good. My finances are not good. Family life's not good. Maybe you're feeling nothing seems to be going right for me. Can God change that? Can God do this for me? You may even be saying, you know, I think God's done with me. I come here on a Sunday, but I don't sense His presence in my life day to day. I don't believe God is able to take me and change me and use me in some wonderful way. The town of Samaria, we had it read to us so beautifully, was surrounded by the Arameans. It had been a desperate situation. The famine was desperate. In fact, if you read 2 Kings chapter 6, you will read about a pact that a lady and the king went into, where the king said, I tell you what, I will take one of my sons, the prince, and we will eat him. And then tomorrow you take your son, and we will eat him. And the king took his son, and they ate. But the woman failed. She said, no, I'm not going to kill my son. That was the desperation in this city. An awful famine. And that's how wars were won in those days. Those walls around meant an enemy army, in this case the Arameans, could simply besiege the city. Remember, all the crops and often the water supply was outside the city walls. And so the Arameans could eat all the crops that the people had put in place. And if there was some sort of water supply in the city, it was limited. And so the situation in which they find themselves in Samaria is absolutely dreadful. Elisha's not in the city, but he comes along and prophesies. And he says, you know, about this time tomorrow, a seah of flour will sell for a shekel, that's about 12 rand, and 2 seahs of barley for a shekel at the gate of Samaria. And the question is asked, could this happen? Is this possible? And this officer says, could this happen even if God were to open the floodgates of heaven? Could this happen? Maybe the questions you've got today are something like this. Could God do a mighty work amongst us by His Spirit in this church? Could God pour out His Spirit and reviving power? Could God meet many spiritual needs? Could God meet our need for an intimate sense of His presence? Could God meet physical needs? Could God meet my material needs? Could God meet financial needs? Could God give me a breakthrough? Could God change our family situation? Could God meet our broken society's needs? Could God change the situation in our country? Could God meet the needs of the poor and the needy? Could God meet the needs of the depressed? Could God meet the needs of my family that is in trauma? Could God meet the need of a marriage that's in trauma? Could God turn a broken relationship around? Could God meet the needs of our society and bring many to Him as Savior? Is that possible? Oh yes, my friend. God has all the ability to flood you with His blessing. Because because I haven't got a PowerPoint. I don't know if there would be electricity, so I didn't bring one today. Let me say it again. God has all the ability to flood you with his blessing. Amen to that? Amen. We're going to see that in his word. Lord, we want floodgates of blessing. Verse 2 again. Lord, look, even if the Lord were to open the floodgates of heaven, could this happen? And again, that verse is repeated in verse 19. Look, even if the Lord should open the floodgates of heaven, could this happen? So the question today is, can God do this for us today? Could God open the floodgates of heaven? And so this morning I want to encourage you through his word and see, firstly, God has already provided all you need. God has already provided all you need. The most incredible thing here is in this story is that while the Samaritans were crying and starving to death, just out there, just beyond the city walls, which they thought were protecting them, those walls were actually shutting them out from the blessings of God. All the blessings of God were out there, but it was the walls that were actually keeping them from the blessings of God. And I think that's an incredible picture of the church at large today. All of God's Spirit, all of the blessings of God are available to us. But the walls we often build around ourselves are keeping us from receiving all that God has for us. Our walls of little faith make us believe God is not able. It can be the walls of church tradition, the walls of fear, the walls of comfort, the walls of familiarity. Let me ask you, what walls are there in your life that are shutting out the blessing of God? The empty camp of the Arameans is there. All the blessings of God are there. But the walls were shutting them out from those blessings. God has already provided all we need. On the cross, through his Holy Spirit coming and dwelling on this earth. And in doing so, God has already defeated our enemy. God has already defeated our enemy. Verse 6 and 7, back in the story, for the Lord had caused the Arameans to hear the sound of chariots and horses and a great army. So they said to one another, look, the king of Israel has hired the Hittite and the Egyptian kings to attack us. Normally they'd only hire one king, but here they believe there are so many, by the noise that God has caused, so many armies out there that they all flee. So verse 7, they got up and fled in the dusk and abandoned their tents and their horses and their donkeys. They left the camp as it was and ran for their lives. So the Arameans were the Israelite enemy, but the Lord had already defeated them. They were gone. My friends, The Lord Jesus on the cross has already defeated our enemy. Today, our enemy Satan is defeated, but he keeps us and robs us corporately as a church and as individuals from the blessings of God. He's always robbing people. Jesus said, the thief comes to kill and steal and destroy. But he's defeated on the cross. Satan's just still riding. But we think our enemy is so strong. I get really concerned about some sectors of the Christian life who almost venerate Satan's power in some way and say, oh, you know, he's got us, he's got us. He's defeated on the cross. And what holds us back from the blessings of God? Not Satan, but unbelief. Unbelief holds you back from receiving God's blessings. Unbelief holds you back from receiving God's blessing. It's an interesting story that night in the palace. The king hears from the lepers that the whole Aramean camp is empty and all the army has gone. And he says, I don't believe it. I don't believe it. So on the advice of his officers, he sends someone out, or two chariots of soldiers, to check it out. And they have to go a significant distance all the way to the Jordan River. And then, of course, the hours pass. I mean, they've got to get 5 strong horses for each of the chariots and so on. And eventually they come back. All that time, the people will starve. And make no mistake, the word has got around the city. Arameans apparently have gone, or they're hiding in some ambush or something. Those folk, if they had believed the word of the Lord, could have gone out of dust and got as much food and drink and strength and whatever they needed. It was already there. But the king would not believe that God had defeated the enemy. Maybe you're having a hard time believing. Maybe when you look at your life, you're struggling to believe that God, in his mercy, has defeated the enemy Satan over our lives and over sin. Maybe like the Arameans and the Israelites, you can't believe that God has supplied all you need and he is just waiting for us to receive it. I honestly think that one of the dangers of being a long-standing Christian is that we slowly slip into a cynicism about God's ability to intervene. In theory, we believe God is able. But in reality, we don't live like that. We don't think anything will change in our lives. We feel we're just trapped in our cycle that we find ourselves in. And that is unbelief. Some Christians great unbelief in the power of God. The story, and I don't know if it's true, but it's a story, nevertheless, of a woman who had no food in her house. And she went outside and prayed in her garden and said, Lord, I need food. I have nothing. Lord, please supply food for me. And the neighbor, who was an atheist, decided, after listening to her prayer, to go out the next morning and bought her a carload of food and all the household necessities. And he carefully got it in through the gate put it on her little stoop, rang the doorbell, and ran and hid behind a bush. And she opened the door and she said, "God did it! God did it! God did it! God heard my prayer." And the atheist, who was hiding behind the bush, just couldn't stand the story. And so he jumped out and said, "No, no, I did it. I heard you praying yesterday. And so as your neighbor, I went out and shopped for you. It wasn't God. It was me." The lady just kept on saying, "God did it. God did it. God did it." And he made the devil pay for it. My friend, don't let unbelief hold you back. Do you remember what the king had heard earlier that day from the mouth of Elisha, the prophet? He had heard, "Tomorrow, about this time, a seer of flour will sell for a shekel," that's about 12 rand, "and two seers of barley will sell for 12 rand." He should have believed the report of the lepers and said, "Yes, God has said this. He spoke through the prophet this morning, this afternoon. God has done what he said he would do." But instead, the king, in unbelief, says, no, can't be. You know, we're going to have to check this out. This is actually a trick. They actually have just disappeared a little bit, and then we're going to go out and grab the stuff, and they're going to surround us and beat us. Do you see? The king had the word of God, and yet he was in unbelief. You have the word of God. We have often in unbelief, just like that king. My friend, hear the word of the Lord this morning. Our enemy is defeated. He is rising, and our God is able. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Abundant blessings, Pastor John, are available to this church. His power is available to us. His blessings are available to us. But unbelief often holds us back from receiving them. Don't go on in your cynicism and say, "You know, things can't really change in my life." We are meant to be the people of faith, but in reality, we're the people of less faith or little faith. Often we're the people of infinitely small faith, a little bit like Peter. And I do admire him for attempting to walk on the water, but Jesus has to say to him, "Peter, you are of little faith." And then Jesus meets a centurion who asks him to come to his house, who says, "I have a servant at home, very, very ill." And the centurion says, "You don't need to come. Just say the word and it'll be done." And Jesus says, "In all of Israel, I've never seen such great faith." Here's a Roman full of faith. And here's Jesus' disciple, Peter, with little or no faith. We're so often like Peter, aren't we? "Oh, ye of little faith." I'm not talking about faith in faith. I'm talking about faith in our great God, who is more than able. Do you know that word "able" that we have? It's the Greek word dunam, from which we get our word dynamite. And when the translators of the English Bible were looking for a word to describe God's dynamite ability, they weakly chose the word able. But when we say God is able, we are saying God has got dynamite ability to intervene, to bring life, to bring people to salvation, to pour out His Spirit, to change issues, to do the unbelievable. That's what we say. Are we people like Peter or the centurion? Unbelief holds us back from receiving the blessings. But the next thing I notice here in the story is you've got to step out and receive the blessing. I almost chose the word fetch the blessing because the people of the city ran out and fetched the blessing. But maybe a better word is you've got to step out and receive the blessing. I have no doubt there were a few cynical people still in the city of Samaria in that day who said, you know what, I'm not going to take a chance. This could still all be a trap. I'll wait to see if anybody else dies. And if it's all okay, I'll go and probably only get the scraps. My friend, we don't read of any in that city. They were starving for the blessings of God. And they ran to fetch it. There was such chaos at the city gate that some senior army officer that used to hang around with the king gets trampled to death. So desperate are these people for food and for blessing. They could have said, no, let's wait and see. But 1,000 times no, they stepped out and received it. They ran and fetched it. So why aren't we as God's people stepping out and receiving the blessings of God? As it were, in inverted commas, fetching the blessings of God. We can have all sorts of excuses as to why God won't work or can't work. Why you or I won't step out. Because, you know, I'm not sure this whole thing is for real and I don't want to go overboard and there's so much that's exaggerated in the Christian life today. Will God come through for me? My friend, that's crazy. All the blessings of God are available for you and I. Do you believe it? Some do. I'm not talking about whipping up some sort of emotional thing. God, in His dynamite ability, has more for you and more for this church. But in faith, we need to step out and receive those showers of blessings. And my second point, which is also the final point, and quite a lot shorter, God over and abundantly supplies. God over and abundantly supplies. Not only has God already provided all we need, but when the Samaritans got to the Syrian camp, they found more food than they could hope to ever eat. There was more money and gold and silver than they could ever utilize. There were horses there more than they had lost in the famine, more food than they had lost in the famine. After the Arameans had vacated the camp, the Israelites were in a better situation than they were ever before the siege. What we believe about the Arameans is that this was a second or a third plunder that they had been on. They had been to other cities and had pillaged those other cities and had come with all their stuff, their gold and silver and whatever else is with them. to besiege the city of Samaria and then take everything. And so on that day, a seah of flour sold for 12 rand. A seah, by the way, is about 30 or 40 liters, I think. 40 liters of flour sold for 12 rand. 80 liters of barley sold for about 12 rand. As the Lord had said, as the Lord had provided. My friend, it happened. God kept his word. God opened the floodgates of heaven. Not a fan light of heaven, not a window of heaven. We've all seen the pictures of dams when the floodgates are opened and then water is coming out in absolute power. They talked, this prophet Elijah talked about floodgates of blessing. Not a little stream of God's blessing. And the great need meter, the great provider, Jehovah Jireh, is able to provide this church with an enormous floodgate of blessing. Amen? Amen. Could this happen, you say? Amen. Some believe it. My friend, God is not a man that he should lie. He will do it. What word has God given you for your family or your situation? Maybe you've forgotten it. Maybe you sort of said, oh, God's not going to do it for me. I don't know why. God is able. Stand up in faith and receive it. Because you see, God generously and graciously floods us with his blessings. As those Samaritans got out there, they found God had miraculously, superabundantly, far more than they imagined, provided for every need they'd ever dreamt of. Food, good food in abundance, money, gold, silver, clothing. It was all there in abundance. As I said already, what they had lost in the famine, they gained in the blessings of God. That whole siege turned out to be a blessing. Yes, sadly, some people lost their lives. But the city of Samaria was far better off after the siege than they were before the siege. I don't know what you've lost in your life. I don't know what you've lost in your spirit. Perhaps you've lost your fervor. Something inside of you has died. God can give it back to you again. He'll put his passion in your heart again. God can make you, as it were, pregnant with expectation that he will do a great thing for you. Lord, stir it up in our heart, a passion for your name, is how one of the more modern songs go. He can flood you with his blessing. He can rain it down on this church. He can rain it down on you. Showers of blessing. Amen. God is able, UEF, to do more than you could imagine. Do not let unbelief hold you back from the blessings of God. Let's pray together. My friend, I don't know what your need is today. All I know is that God is able. God is able to meet it in a greater way than you believe possible. But you do have to place your faith in him. You do have to believe that he is able. You do have to, as it were, step out and receive it in faith. And so say to the Lord in your own way today, Lord, I'm stepping out. I'm done with my unbelief. I'm not waiting. take a few moments to respond to God. Lord, you are able to do more than we could imagine. Lord, you're able to open the floodgates of blessing over UEF, over every individual, over every family, over every person represented here today. Lord, I pray in Jesus' name that you would not let Satan rob us and plant fear in our hearts and make us doubt your word and your spirit. Oh Lord, revive our hearts again with great faith in you. I pray in the name of Jesus. And all God's people said,
Amen. Amen.
Showers of blessing, this is the promise of love. There shall be seasons refreshing, sent from the Savior above. Showers of blessing, showers of blessing we need. Mercy drops round us are falling, but for the showers we we need. Mercy drops round us are falling, but for the showers we need. There shall be showers of blessing, send them upon us, O Lord. Grant to us now a refreshing, come and now honor thy word. Showers of blessing, showers of blessing we need. Mercy drops round us are falling, but for the showers we need.
There shall be showers of blessing, oh that today they might fall. Now as to God we're confessing, now as on Jesus we call.
Showers of blessing, showers of blessing we need. Mercy drops round us are falling, but for the showers we need. There shall be showers of blessing, if we but trust and obey. There shall be seasons refreshing, if we let God have his way. Showers of blessing, showers of blessing we need. Mercy drops round.